Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over the Blackhawks' first three games, some NHL news, and what we've, you know, kind of taken away from these first three games. But before we get into that, I want to give a shout out to our listeners. Thank you for listening, and let us know if there's anything that you want us to talk about, that something that you've seen or something that we've brought up that you want to hear more of. You know, just get us on Twitter or shoot us an email, and we'll be sure to get to it. So, Matt, Blackhawks 1-2, that game versus Colorado, I think it went probably about as expected, because I wasn't expecting the Blackhawks to come in and completely, you know, shock everybody and give the Avalanche a run for their money, but maybe put up a little bit more of a fight. They did score two goals. Taves did have the first goal of the season. What did you think of that first game?
I honestly thought that the Hawks played well the first period. I was really surprised they were kind of keeping up with these guys. And you know what? We both had, like, in our preview show for our season predictions and stuff, what we thought about the goaltending with the Blackhawks. Honestly, man, the first three games, I thought the goaltending has been solid. I thought Peter Mrazek looked really good that game against that high-powered offense.
Absolutely. You know, I actually wanted to get into the goaltending a little bit later, just from, like, the safe forwards and maybe system. Obviously, it seemed like, you know, these guys, they don't have their legs, you know, under them yet, and they're still figuring things out. I mean, this is like their third system in, you know, 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to take a little time. But is there anything that stood out to you in that Avalanche game that other than not being able to stay out of the penalty box?
Yeah, I thought that the penalty kill looked really good. I thought it's been different from the last season. You know, they've kind of been more conservative and laid back and kind of just getting, you know, taken advantage of pretty much. They were more aggressive, which I like. I know Luke Richardson was really, really high on that, being aggressive on the penalty kill. And
right.
I thought they looked pretty good. Obviously, Kaner had a really nice pass to Domi, and he's still one of the best playmakers to probably ever play. And good to see Taves getting going. Nice goal, nice pass by Kurashev. It actually looked like a non-look pass. He kind of just threw it there. It was right on the tape. I was pretty impressed by that. And, you know, we've kind of been, me especially, kind of tough on the guy ever since. So he's kind of, you know, he's really streaky. But, man, if he's making passes like that every game, the Hawks are going to, their numbers are going to be pretty good statistically.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Kurashev really stood out to me in that game. From that play forward, he seemed to be hunting down pucks, you know, trying to make plays. He actually had a few shots too, but if you're 100%, he kind of just looked the goalie in the eye, looked Gorgiev in the eye, and passed it to Taves. Taves just buried it. It was like an open net. So yeah, that was beautiful. Domi had a really nice setup from Taves. He was able to lift from Kane. He was able to lift the puck up and bury that one. That was really nice. But other than that, man, it was all Avalanche. You know, they got going in the second period, and they didn't look back after that. They are the returning champs, and they lost Kadri in the offseason, but this team, you know, they're built for success. I'll look for them to have a really good year this year. And we'll see. Maybe we'll see how it is later on down the road. But Golden Knights game, I was expecting to get exactly what we got. I think that the Knights are, their window's done. They have to retool and fix their roster to kind of, I would say, be contenders again. And it kind of showed on that first game versus the Blackhawks, because, you know, the Blackhawks, what a lot of people, especially Ben Pope, are trying to say, are supposed to be the worst team in the league. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. They will be at the bottom, but not the worst. And but the Golden Knights, man, they didn't, they were evenly matched, man. Do you think that do you see anything from the Golden Knights? I mean, I didn't even notice Jack Eichel until about 12 minutes into the second period.
Yeah, I mean, if you score one goal against the Blackhawks with a, you know, very inexperienced rebuilding team, that's kind of a bad sign. And you spend money to, you know, to be a contender every season. The owner is very committed to winning that Stanley Cup, but the GM's got other plans, it seems like. He brings in these good players and he's trading them within a year. It's really strange to me how that organization is operating everything. But I thought the story of that game, Alex Datlock, man. This guy's a backup goalie, AHL, maybe number one goalie. And he had a good game, man. He had 39 shots against. I think he had just 37 saves or 38 saves, whatever. He was really good. Another bright spot for the Hawks is the two goaltenders. They've been very good. But back to the Knights. You got Jack Eichel. You got Mark Stone. You got Carlson. You got a number of these guys that can score goals. Like, I mean, they're paying these guys to score, and they got to do something. I know Robin Leonard's out, but they're really relying on this Logan Thompson kid, who's not a bad goalie, but he's not Robin Leonard either. So I think these guys are, like you said, their window is done.
Yeah. Mrazek, I was expecting the worst, and man, I thought that he played great considering who he was playing, considering who was playing against the Avalanche, and Salak stood on his head, man, versus the Golden Knights. I thought that he played a wonderful. He tracked the puck really well. He was going side to side. He looked really good. Yeah. You know, going into that third game with versus the Sharks, you know, they had a Doug Wilson, tribute night, which was really cool. I think he played for the Blackhawks for 14 seasons and then went to the Sharks, was their first captain, and then became their GM. And, he's been out there, pretty much ever since he got traded. It was nice of them to give him a tribute like that, especially during when they were playing the Blackhawks. But the Blackhawks showed up, man. I was not expecting what happened in that game. Talk about Lafferty and Lafferty and Dickinson were incredible. I wanted to bring up Peter Mrazek because he had such a great first game. I was wondering what was going to happen to this game. Is this just going to be what he is in the first game? Is it just going to fall off the rails? But he looked really good, man. What did you think of Mrazek's play during the Sharks game?
Yeah, they were down, I believe, 2-0 after the first, and, he stuck with it. And Erik Karlsson, I think, was kind of owning the Hawks a little bit, which, oh, God, it kills me to see that.
But really?
I can't stand him.
The only time that I saw Erik Karlsson was standing practically in the right circle as Lafferty was bearing empty netters.
Well, he does get points, but like we've said before, he does not play defense, and it showed. But back to Mrazek, I haven't seen one soft goal all season, and same with Stalak. I know he's only played one game, but I mean, sure, he's been kind of swimming in his crease a little bit, but it's early, and Mrazek's made some big saves, and I'm sure the Toronto Maple Leafs are kind of second-guessing themselves because that Matt Murray's just went down, and they have that Samsonov in net now, but I think Mrazek, if he played like this, I don't know what they're complaining about up there. He's been very solid for us.
Yeah, I don't see... it's kind of funny. You're talking about soft goals, and normally we're talking about our players with that, and we haven't been able to say that for the first three games this season.
I thought that would be the big hit. The first three games, all the goaltending is terrible, and it's been the opposite. Goaltending has been the brightest spot of this team, I think.
Well, Erik Karlsson's four games in and already a -3, so
yep, Hall of Famer right away. That's cool.
But before we get into the rest of the podcast, I want to talk about our sponsor, Liquid IV. Keeping our bodies hydrated is one of the most important things, that we need to do every day. When you aren't hydrated, you can suffer from all kinds of problems like brain fog, headaches, and feeling sick. Whether you keep an active lifestyle or just need help keeping hydrated in general, something that I use is Liquid IV. Liquid IV has 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. Contains 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. What makes Liquid IV so effective is the science of cellular transport technology. It's designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other key ingredients into the bloodstream. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. Now, You get 15% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code ChicagoTomahawk at checkout. That's 15% off anything you order when you use promo code ChicagoTomahawk at liquidiv.com. Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, ChicagoTomahawk. Now, I use the stuff personally. I think that it's great. And you know what, man? It's just so important to stay hydrated. So, back to the podcast. Jonathan Toews, 2 goals in 3 games. And I think that's a good start for the captain, man. This guy, you know, he's looking for to show that he still has something left in the tank. He's looking to show people that, you know, that he's not done. And, you know, so far he's doing that. How would you rate Toews' play so far?
Well, his last goal, I thought, was fantastic. It was like vintage Toews, you know, taking it up on the breakaway and kind of freezing up the goalie, and he just gets him on the one side. And yeah, man, he's got a lot to prove. I mean, I'm a person that, you know, kind of doubted him, and I know it's still early, but usually Toews is a very slow starter.
Right.
And, you know, he's got 2 goals in 3 games, and he's kind of putting all the critics to the side for now. So if he can keep it going, it's only going to help his cause if, you know, if he wants out or if he wants to stay, because he's, you know, he's being a good leader out there right now.
Absolutely. You know, something that I noticed specifically was that Toews wasn't on the penalty kill. Looks like they're using him offensively, which, you know, I kind of thought, I thought that maybe they would be putting him on the PK, but the only time he was on the PK was when, you know, the Hawks had that string of like 3 penalties in a row, and their two PK teams were just like dead, and they needed to put a third team together. They put him and Anthony Seau out there. but yeah, man, I think that he's doing great. Tyler Johnson is seeing him, and I think he set him up for both goals, and I think that that's it's good to see Tyler Johnson get going too. Yeah. I've been noticing the guy, you know, he's been everywhere, man. Healthy. I think Tyler Johnson, yeah, he's healthy. And it looks like him, when I did notice Jack Eichel in that Golden Knights game, he didn't look stiff at all. He looked like he was skating well. And I'm noticing that, you know, that Tyler Johnson is too. So I think that maybe that surgery that they got was really helpful.
Yeah, that's a 2 great players that could, you know, spread that out to even other sports. Like, hey, this is great. I mean, you're not, you know, it's not career ending. And so far it's been good for these guys.
Right. Sam Lafferty had 2 shorthanded goals in this Sharks game that the Blackhawks won 5-2, which was actually incredible because the first one was set up by Jason Dickinson and Lafferty just hammered it home. I was like, oh my God, we're back in this game, you know? And then, because when this Sharks game started, the Blackhawks, it was all Blackhawks. Sharks didn't get a shot on goal until about 11 minutes into the first period. But then at that point, it turned into the Sharks show, and they end up scoring 2 goals. Come to the second period, you know, the Blackhawks, you know, kind of changed, tilted the ice in their favor and never gave it back. About after, what was it, man? Like maybe 3 minutes after Lafferty's shorthanded goal, he gets another one from Jason Dickinson, which was
that was excellent. Yeah,
he was on his stomach. I was like, oh my gosh, are they gonna do this again? Dickinson was on his stomach. He got it to,
I think he hit to the Lafferty. Goalie. No, I think he hit the goalie and it bounced right back to Lafferty. He just buried it. It was just hard work. Yeah, hard work, these guys. And Lafferty gives it 110% every shift. You could just tell by his hustle. And,
absolutely.
And it's good to see him get some points because, I mean, sometimes, you know, he's not going to light it up, you know, every year. He's more of the role player. But, you know, it's like when a fourth liner scores, he make a big deal about it. And, you know, like that hustle, man, it's contagious. I hope these young guys, you know, and other players can see that. Like, this guy knows it's a rebuilding team, but he's going out there like it's game 7 every shift. And that's a player like fans get behind all the time.
Absolutely. You know, he makes that number 24 proud that he's wearing on his back, to be honest with you, with the way that he's been playing. I really appreciate it. Taylor Radish, ironically, I was watching a game with my wife, and I was like, you know what? I think this is a guy to look out for. I think that this guy's due. We're only three games into the season, and about 30 seconds later, he scored that breakaway goal. I was like, oh my gosh, holy shit. So Taylor Radish scored, and then Jason Dickinson, man, he was working his ass off that game, scored a goal. He scored the fifth goal. So, really, really great game. Really nice to see the Blackhawks get some, you know, get some life in them. You know, if they go down, you know, 0-3, you know, they're probably like, oh my gosh, this is going to be brutal. You know, and hit the morale early. Matt, do you think that the Blackhawks, from the way that they're playing, they're not going to make it easy on teams to win? Do you think that the Blackhawks have an opportunity to be, say, maybe a 500 team this year?
I think eventually the roster is going to kind of catch up to them once teams start getting their, you know, their legs and, you know, their systems right. And, you know, I hope that they're, I like you said before, I don't think they're going to be dead last. I think they'll probably be towards the bottom, maybe the bottom five. But sure. I mean, it would be nice to get 500, but I just think there's too many good teams out there that just have more finishers, you know, on the team and more game breakers. And eventually, you know, it's going to catch up. But if you play hard every game, and you know what, the last three games they played hard. They do. They're competing. That's all you can ask for as in a fan right now. And we know the rebuild, the big R word. But as long as they're competing and they're trying hard, not dogging it out there and whining about stuff, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it, the R word. You know, Patrick Kane is making some great passes and noticeably isn't carrying the puck into the zone as much as previous seasons. Do you think that this is a plus?
You know what? I think it's just, I noticed this too. I noticed Kaner skating the puck up in full speed and then hitting the brakes at the blue line and dumping it in for like the safe play. Sure. I don't know what that is. Maybe it was a long shift and he didn't want to risk turning the puck over and them going the other way to score. I actually think it's smart on him. I think he's being smart. Like if he knows he's got no chance in hell, make the smart play, you know, get some fresh legs out there and change it up. But I think Kaner is the best or at his best when he is skating the puck in, you know, going full speed to the top of the circles and, you know, turning towards the boards and hitting that guy coming in on the rush. But maybe we're not going to see that much this season. I think that they're more going to be more defensive structurally. So, I think this will hurt Kaner's numbers this year, but this is the way it is. So he's going to have to adjust.
Something that you wanted to bring up, you know, that Patrick Kane is going to be a pending unrestricted free agent next year. His agent, Pat Bisson, tells Pierre LeBrun, neither his camp nor the Blackhawks are in a rush to make a move and expects Kane's year to play out similarly to the way Claude Giroux did last season. Matt, why don't you give me your take on what you think is going to go on with Patrick Kane? I hate talking about the rumors.
I know you do.
You know, because he specifically said that he hasn't spoken to his family about this yet, you know. Yeah. But everybody, every freaking publication out there, man.
It's getting worse every day. Something new, you know. It is, and dude. Now these big name, you know, insiders like Pierre LeBrun are, you know, they're writing about it. Then you got, like we were talking about earlier, Craig Button, who's well-respected. He's one of the head scouting guys of TSN Canada. And he gave his takes on, you know, what teams he thinks Kaner will land at. And I sent you the video, and I was surprised with the three. Obviously, you know, we've heard the Ranger rumors over and over again. Sure. He's going to be with the Breadman again. Yeah, that'd be pretty freaking cool. But if you're not sending back, like, a Capo Caco or, you know, Lafreniere, it doesn't seem good. And then you need a number one for sure. You might need a number three in the same draft, you know. You might have to. Kaner's worth it. So I mean, it's really annoying, I know, but it's gonna get worse, you know. And it's gonna get worse towards the deadline, the week before the deadline. We're probably gonna hear every single team wants him. So, yeah. I did hear, it was kind of interesting to hear Craig Buttons. He said Calgary, which I talked to some of our Calgary friends on Twitter. They don't think that would happen because of the prospect. There's really no great prospects they can offer. And then he mentioned LA Kings, which was interesting. Both me and you were like, wow, these guys were freaking enemies, you know. You know, they ran into each other in the Western Conference Finals.
They were
worse. And it, you know, they're an up and coming team, and you know, I think he would fit in over there, but Kaner still holds the power. You know, he's got the trade clause, and he could say, there's no way, you know, I'm not playing with those dudes. And then when I heard this one was very interesting. It's a good conversation starter too. The Pittsburgh Penguins. And immediately I just thought, wow, can you imagine a team with Crosby and Kane together? Like,
yeah,
how lethal that offense would be. I mean, even if they, you know, they put them together on the power play, that the hockey IQ would be through the roof. Like, oh my God, these guys, amazing passers, and Kaner probably would be the finisher on that team just because Kidd is so good at passing too. Maybe even both of them. But then you look at their cap situation. Obviously, the Hawks would say, yeah, we'll retain half. We want a first round pick. And I'm not really sure how big how the prospect pool looks with the Penguins, but you know, they do a good job with everything. Pittsburgh knows how to draft. They know how to keep players around. Their system's been very successful. They're always in the playoffs. And now I'm kind of a believer after, you know, hearing that, but I personally want Kaner to stay. Like you said, me and you talk all the time about it. I would love to see Kaner retire here and not wear another sweater ever, but you know, it as you see more of these stories, it's just more likely to happen because it's obviously someone's talking, you know, in the management. So we're just going to have to wait and see and just enjoy every game we got with them.
Yeah. Yeah. My quick input on it is I want to see him stay in the Hawks sweater. You know, I don't think that anybody has really anything out there that is really going to be like that, you know, that big of a change, it's like, oh yeah, we can't turn this deal down. You know, like there isn't a prospect out there right now, unless we can get Connor Bedard, where I'm like, or what's that guy, Jaeger, you know, that I would say, yeah, we absolutely have to make this happen. I don't think I just don't see it, man. I think that Kaner's going to stay. I think he's going to be like, you know what? I'm not looking to go anywhere. I made a life here. I'm good. I'm going to be here through this rebuild, and I'm going to mentor these guys. I'm going to try to make number one on this stats list. So I go down as the best Blackhawk of all time, and I want to do it all in one sweater and be the best American hockey player at the same time as well. So that's kind of where I see him at, man. You know, I just don't see a package out there that it's like, yeah, we're going to send our franchise guy that's been here for 14 years. And,
you can't replace him. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, you're never going to replace
him. Not at all. Yeah. So that's where I see it, bro.
I think the Rangers though, they do have young players to give back. It kind of reminds me of 94. I mean, the Rangers wanted to win the cup. They got Messier, they got Adam Graves, Mike Richter. You know, they needed some role players. And you know what? We got Tony Amani back. And, you know, they got, I believe, Brian Noonan and some other guy I forget. But, I mean, it helped them get over the hump. And that was, I think, one of the best trades in Hawks history. We landed Tony Amani. He was an amazing player for the Blackhawks. But
he was a franchise player for us.
Yeah, and I think the Rangers have a couple of those guys right now, and you know, and they're still on their rookie entry contracts. But if they are interested in Kane, I mean, I'd want a guy like, you know, Kapokako or Lafreniere, but I don't think the Rangers fans are going to be ready to let go of that guy for a rental player, you know, but that's the price. That's the price of winning a Stanley Cup. This is a guy that could, you know, win a game seven. Like, he could show up in game seven and score a big goal. He's that difference maker. We know Kaner is. Yeah. So
he's done that multiple times. We're not talking about, you know, one time, one game. You know, we're talking multiple game seven games or multiple, you know, series deciding games where Kaner comes through with an impossible pass into two guys. I mean, remember when we put away the Kings, that
hat trick, right?
That breakaway that he had with him and Taves, and that put the Kings things away, man.
Every game.
You know, it's he doesn't just come through. He comes through all the time, and it's going to cost, man.
It's going to cost. And I think if it is the Rangers, they're going to have to give one of those good young players away. And I know a lot of the fans are going to be like, no way, no way. But I mean, that's the type of guy that will get you over. And they're going to have to put up or shut up on that one. And you go back to even, what was it, 2009? I think that was one of Kaner's best playoff performances against the Vancouver Canucks. They were giving him a hard time about, oh, this guy can't score even strength. He can't score. I think it was Willie Mitchell. And the next game, Kaner comes out and gets a hat trick. And he's just, I swear the puck was finding him, and wherever he was shooting from, it was going in. And it was awesome. And this is the guy a team needs, especially like a team like the Rangers. I mean,
dude, he's got more playoff winning goals than the Rangers have playoff wins in the past, you know, 5 years.
I mean, if I am saying the Rangers, they need a guy like this, man. They had guys last year. They were close. They had guys missing open nets, and they had Shesterkin was good, but you got to score for the guy. He can't stop everything. He's a damn good goalie, right. But this is a guy that, you know, he's already got experience with the Breadman. We've seen that. It's freaking magic. And if I'm the GM, Chris Drury, I'm doing anything I can to put up a good package just so I can get my Stanley Cup and, you know, get these guys finally over the hump. But like
we said, off into the sunset after that.
It's all up to Patrick Kane. And that is probably one team I can see him saying, yes, I will go to New York and play 20 season games in the playoff run. That's one team I can actually see him saying yes to. And if it was like the Buffalo Sabres were in the Rangers' shoes, I think Kane would not even think about it. He'd say, yeah, I'm going to play for my hometown, but they're just not there. But I think the Rangers, it's the Big Apple, Showtime, Patrick Kane, I think he would waive it to play with the Breadman again. But I hope he stays. Mm. Like you said, I want to see him break the record and just only a Hawk sweater. I don't want him to go back and forth, but I can also see that happening too. I could see him going, being a rental player and coming back next season and signing like a 3-year deal, cheap, cap friendly, good for a rebuild. Sure. Just because this is home. This has been his home. It's hard to, it's hard to just pick up and go after 14 years. You meet a woman here and you have a kid here. You set your roots down, man. So I could see that happening too, but we'll see, man. It's going to get more annoying as it's going, and we're going to have to report it.
It makes you wonder, you know, just like as him, you know, is he thinking, yeah, I want to go get another cup, you know, or is he thinking, you know what, man, I've got everything.
Yeah, well, I understand.
I've done it.
I understand.
I just want to play hockey.
Exactly.
You know, I just want to play hockey.
If it's like Ray Bourque, you know, like this guy's chasing his cup. Like, yeah, I'm going to Colorado. I got to get my cup. I've had a great career.
Right.
I need to get my cup. But it's not. He's got three of them, you know?
And right.
One more, yeah, it's going to be awesome. You're going to have great memory and everything, but
he's going to go play with a bunch of strangers he doesn't know.
I know. He's a competitor. He's a winner. But what if it's something like an Iginla type of thing? Iginla's going to hop around all over the place. He never won his cup. And what's he going to hop around until he finds one more cup that you have for you already? So, we just got to be patient and just enjoy the time we have with him, because we don't know if it's going to happen.
All right, so top three stars of the week is Sidney Crosby, number one, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points to start off the season. This guy just keeps on going, man. Crosby or Ovechkin, I'll take Crosby anytime. McDavid, second star, 4 goals, 1 assist, and 5 points. And Jake Oettinger, he is 2-0, .1 goals against average. So, Matt, where are you at, Crosby or Ovechkin? You're drafting a team. It's 2006.
So this is weird. When they first came in the league, I was very pro Ovechkin, only because Sid, you know, he kind of
the visor.
The visor was sweet. The tinted visor, it was awesome. But I love the goal scoring. I love the guy that awesome celebrations. Like every goal was Game 7 Stanley Cup winner. You know, he's, you know, kissing his hand, pointing it up to the crowd and highlight reel goals. And he didn't bitch. He never complained. Crosby came across as like that entitled Trevor Zegras-like attitude, and I didn't like that. But as he, you know, matured, and we all do, some men, not me, maybe, yeah. But he, you know what, he was a warrior, and right now I'm picking Sid just because of the, you know, the leadership, and, you know, he shows up in big moments, 3 Stanley Cups, and, you know, they rebuilt that team a couple times on the fly, and they're still, you know, very good, been in the playoffs for all these years, and I think Sid is just a, I don't know. I mean, I like Ovi and everything, but I think Ovi's pretty one-dimensional. Sid's really turned his game around. He's like, was nominated for a Selke 1 year. So, I mean, he's just a better two-way player, better leader. And he still kind of complains. That's what captains do. Taves does too. They'll complain to the refs. That's their job. You know, you got to say, what the frick is that call? You know, that's your job, but
yeah,
I think Ovi's pretty one dimensional. You know, he's on top of his circles and he's firing it, but he's got a lot of passion, you know, and he's a very likable guy, Ovi, but I'm with you. I'm on Team Crosby here.
You know, about Crosby, I like to compare him, you know, we'll use basketball as an example of, you know, LeBron James gets compared to Michael Jordan all the time, you know, and Sidney Crosby was compared to Wayne Gretzky, calling him the next one, you know, and I think that he took all of that hype and he took all of that people patting him on his back, man, and he didn't let it affect his development, and he didn't let it affect him as a player. And I think that he took it in stride, man. And you know what, dude? I don't think there's a single thing more that you can ask for him. He came into the league, you know, Mario Lemieux, we'll call him Mario, was brought him in. I think he played one season with Mario, and you know, those are big shoes to fill, man. You know, they're setting him up to be like the next cornerstone franchise player for this Pittsburgh Penguins team. And he took it and ran with it, man. I don't think that you could really ask much more from a player like him. He didn't have any issues with, you know, Malkin, which easily, you know, there could have been another guy, you know, look at this guy, this Russian coming here trying to steal my light. You know, that wasn't the deal. Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, was coming in, you know, and, you know, things just really, really worked out for that squad. And I think that he had a big hand in it. And I, you know, you got to tip your hat to the guy. Ovechkin tried like hell, man, to win that cup. And it took everything that they, you know, that they had to do it. And I tip my hat to him. I think he's had a solid career. I don't think he's going to break Gretzky's record, but I think that he's been him and Crosby were what the NHL needed at the time.
Very true. You know, very true.
To, you know, to help. And to be honest with you, it wasn't just them. It was Kaner. It was Taves. You know, they had a great team in Anaheim where they were, you know, that they were always playing well. Zetterberg and Datsyuk in Detroit, were good players that when they were on TV, you'd want to see them play. You know, and obviously Nicklas Lidström was phenomenal. You know, and The league wasn't dead, but that time with Sidney Crosby and bringing up some of these new players, these younger players, man, I think Steven Stamkos was another one in Tampa, you know, that came out, man. And I think a lot of these guys carried the NHL for a long time. Just to name a few.
Yeah. Even right now, I think Steven Stamkos has really elevated his game the last couple of seasons, right. And he's up there. You know, I think he's at 400 something goals. He's going to be a 500 guy.
He had a great first few seasons where he was just lighting it up. And then he had like 5 years of
injury problems, you
know, just injury problems and just nagging injuries. And it seems like the past three years, he's been, I would probably say 3 years. He's been more healthy than he has in the past, but definitely, a Titan along with you know, Kaner and Taves, those types of guys, that kind of really defined this era of the NHL, you know?
Yeah, they're getting older. It's getting kind of sad. I mean, we got, you know, McDavid kind of taking the torch from Sid, I think. I still think when Crosby, when he faces McDavid, I always watch that game. It's just weird. Crosby, like, elevates his game against McDavid. He's like, you know what, kid? You're good. but you're nowhere near me yet. Like, you've seen Crosby with an unbelievable pass, like, to himself. And he'll bury it. And I just see, they show McDavid's face, and he's just, like, in awe. So,
yeah,
it's really cool. But, you know, there's good wave coming up. Good wave.
Absolutely, man. You know, it's kind of like, you know, like kind of like when Marion Gaborik was hitting the end of his career, that's when, you know, Taves and Kane were really coming in and defining, you know, this era. You know, they're kind of like the older guys now in this newer era but, you know, McKinnon and McDavid are established stars now, and so is Austin Matthews. You know, this is like the new era. I don't want to call them, they are veterans, but, you know, they are, you know, the coming in, not coming in, but, like, you know, somewhat the face of the NHL. Yeah, like
prime time guys,
man. You know, yeah, Kaner is still, you know, he's 34 years old and he still got it, but, you know, it's like he's in that same group as Crosby. You know, they're the older guys that are still awesome at hockey. You know, and Taves, to his own right, man, you know, the guy's played a lot of tough hockey. He led a really, really, what was a bad team into the, you know, up to the promised land, man. And you got to tip your hat to that guy, too. For sure. He didn't score a ton of goals, but he scored some really, really meaningful goals that, you know, that really helped this team, his leadership, and probably most importantly, his defensive abilities, you know?
Yep.
He shut down everybody, dude. Anybody that they needed him to do, he did it.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep. Sedin's, Bolin too. Got to give credit to Bolin on that. But
Sedin's, he practically Kessler. Won that Anaheim game, Anaheim Ducks game, game 7, single-handedly practically.
Him and Ryan Kessler are the best. I mean, if you want to watch a good hockey game, a good, like, nasty two-way game, tune into a freaking Ryan Kessler versus Taves game, because those guys were awesome, and Taves always got the better of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if those guys start a podcast together in, like, you know, 4 years or so.
Dude, that would be awesome, because, like, you could tell the hatred they had for each other.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's almost like, you know, I think of Anchorman. It's like, oh, isn't that right, number two? Like, Ron Burgundy to Vince Bunker. He can never just get the best.
Yeah. Well, all right, everybody. That's all that we got for you tonight. You know, stay tuned. Blackhawks play on Friday versus the Dead Wings. We're going to watch that game. I am doing some post-game shows, usually releasing it the next day because it's usually late at night when some of these games are done, especially these West Coast games, man. It's like midnight in the Chicagoland area. I'm not going to put anything out at that time. So I usually do them the next day. Look out for those for my after-action reviews. Matt's going to start getting some Twitter spaces going maybe in a couple weeks after we're a couple weeks into the season. We've got a few things to talk about and see what everybody's thinking. But that's all that we got for you tonight. Stay tuned. We release our podcast every Tuesday, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.